YouTubing it for a while.
Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. Yeah. This ain't no video game, yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound, so point the arrow now. I built the pyramid and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Gravity.
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master. Take a class again, cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, December the 13th of 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time, really, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue with the show that we started yesterday, talking about social engineering versus spiritual engineering. Today, we want to continue where we left off yesterday. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about social engineering, talking about how social engineering is designed to basically make you intellectually limited or spiritually incapacitated. It's designed to make you comfortable with calmly or watching a sitcom or watching a television program, because the information freely programs the brain. And the way that it programs through the brain, according to Plato, and it involves these three things that use drama, music, and fashion. I always talk about the three immutable laws of this world: math, music, and language. However you want to slice it up, we are involved in this triune hex. It is a hexagon. It is a hexagram. And it is a hexa. I've got the third one. But anyway, three hexes. The hexes are based upon math, music, and language. So we live in a vibrational world, and this vibrational world controls our psychology. So we are engineered to be psycho or sociopaths. So there is a system, however, to reverse engineer this flesh. So today we want to talk about how to engineer spiritualism by reverse engineering flesh. So the process of reverse engineering allows us to establish an individual step-by-step method that produces results. Just like a builder builds a house. The builder isn't the architect. The builder, and there's always a superintendent on site. The superintendent supervises the construction workers, and there are different trades within the construction worker that allows the plumber to do his job, the electrician to do his job, the framer to do his job, the foundation guy to do his job, the roofers to do their jobs. Some people within the construction trade are super constructors, meaning they have multiple trades and multiple skills. As a spiritual engineer, my brother, as a spiritual engineer, my sister, it is your job to be able to oscillate and vibrate in all of the different areas of spiritualism so that way you can build your spirit. Now, thankfully, the blueprint has already been given. So the architect has already wrote the plans. So all you got to do is take the architect's plans. And now you must build your spirit to override your flesh. But many people don't know how to build up their spirit. Most people don't know. They're waiting for, again, a hero to come in and save them or to build them. So today's series talks about and introduces what we're going to be discussing in vivid biological detail. And the next series is titled The Biology of the Temple. Because most people don't understand how to build. Therefore, they can't because they don't have the spiritual gifts to engage in spiritual warfare. They're not spiritual gangsters. So you got to be a spiritual gangster, my brother, gangster, my sister. But the first thing you got to do is you got to be able to understand the spiritual architect. So the spiritual architect or spiritual archetypes or spiritual architecture, without understanding that the big G is the spiritual architect. And as the spiritual architect, he established the architectural design for the construction of the place that the Ruach and the Pneuma dwells. Now, as someone who majors in the building of temples, because my name, again, means Bethesiel in Hebrew, which means builder of the temple. And so a spiritual architect, my brothers and sisters, how to read spiritual blueprints. That is the Helios Biblius. That's one of the blueprints, again. And so the ability to read a spiritual blueprint means that you don't go by the letters, you go by the spirit. And so most people, again, are insensitive, we'll put it that way. You say, well, Brother Will, what do you know, like honestly, like what does that mean? Well, God so loved the world that he did something. And we have a plethora of scriptures that talks about the word. So the Holy Scriptures speak of the word of God being the apple of his eye in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 2. So when we look into the eyes of God, we should see ourselves, but we don't. We might see somebody else, but we don't see ourselves. It starts with understanding the word nucleus in English that comes from the Hebrew word quamat, Q-A-M-A-T. Quamat in Hebrew means compressed. So the word quamat is the Hebrew word that gives us the English word nucleus or nuclei. It has an underlining word which means him, kind of like the word shem, H-E-M. So it means it's the compressing of the hem, like the hemming of the garment. So the DNA, the dioxyribonucleic acid, if you break this whole word down, which I've done it many times before, it not only does it mean a deity, but it also means something else. Now, I wish I had the time to actually go further in depth into the spiritual engineering on a deeper level, but I'm going to save that for the series. But what I will tell you is this. The words that you hear, they are activated by light. So Yahushua said, I am the light of the world. He did not say he created light. He says that he is light. Now, based upon cymatics, which is the study of sound and resonance, sound is the source of all things. In the beginning was the word, a.k.a. sound. And the word, a.k.a. sound, was with God, and the word was God. So everything that you do, all of your behavior is controlled by your sound, by what you hear, by intoning. And so sound produces resonance. Resonance produces words. Words produces creations. So what is sound? Now, we don't know what sound is. We know what sound does, but we don't know what sound is. Now, sound is a frequency. Well, what is the frequency? Well, frequency, they manipulate molecules of mass. What's interesting is sound has to have mass to travel. Light doesn't. Let me say that again. Now, remember, we're talking about social engineering and spiritual engineering. Spirit doesn't need sound. Flesh does. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Light activates sound. Let me say it again. Hopefully you're getting what I'm saying that I'm not saying. So I want to program you. You are programmed. There's not no doubt about it. But somebody used sound to program you. Well, there's something that overrides sound. Light. See, light doesn't need a vacuum to travel. Light doesn't need loosened far. Loosened far needs light. Now, in my book, Bioluminescence, now, if you want to get serious into the biology of this shizness, this is what I do all day, every day. So I understand that sound controls me, but then I control sound. So I control sound with my light. Jesus Christ, or Yahushua, is the light of the world. Now, we got to get into some spiritual engineering techniques. Because sound, resonance, words, they are created. We live in a langu age. He uses sound. But sound is not the king. Light is. So sound can boil. Do you know that sound can boil water? There's a guy named Peter Davey. He produces this device. He put the device in water, and it boils the water. Do you know that sound can make massive boulders levitate? There's another guy down in Florida. He moved these big old huge massive stones, and he used sound to levitate. Massive. I'm talking about huge, like tons, and it just moves around like it's nothing. No equipment needed. Everything on this dimension is sound. But the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." But everything on this universe vibrates. So we've got to reverse engineer vibration. Everything can be made through sound. Because everything is sound. So everybody has a resonant frequency. Now, what I'm about to say is very, very dangerous. Dr. Royal Raymond Rife produced the frequency generator. And he mapped out the frequency of most diseases. My good friend down in Houston, William Hawkins, wrote a book that has the frequency of every disease known to man. So if you match the frequency with a device and you elevate the frequency, you destroy the frequency. Let me say that again. So sound is a frequency. So you are a frequency. So how do I destroy you? I match your frequency, and then I change your frequency, and it destroys you. Let me say that again. Spiritual engineering, brother. Spiritual engineering. Now, Yahushua came, and he matched the frequency, and then he vibrated on a higher frequency. Therefore, he destroyed the frequency. Everything is a frequency. Every feeling you got is a frequency. Every emotion is a frequency. Everything that you eat is a frequency. Everything that you wear is a frequency. You are a frequency. So if I want to dissolve you, remember Star Trek when they beam me up, Scotty? They walk in there and they would just disintegrate. And then they would so they disassembled their molecules, and then they reassembled their molecules. Star Trek is fiction, right? Yeah, I don't think so. Spiritual engineering. If you could wrap your brain around this, my brothers and sisters, it would change your life forever. Because right now, you have a resident frequency, but you don't know what it is. Now, your resident frequency changes based upon your emotions, but you have a signature. That means that all day, every day, you vibrate at 19.2 hertz or 18.2 or 7.2. The higher the pitch of the frequency, the more powerful it is and the less you can hear it. That's why it's magic. So all of the high-pitched frequencies, which you are, you can't hear. Since you can't hear it, you don't think it exists. But just because you can hear a frequency, just because you can't see a frequency, doesn't mean that there is not a frequency. But since we don't understand that, we think that there is no frequency. So just because you cannot hear sound does not mean sound is not there, because it is. Sound creates all symbols. Let me say it again. Now, I want you to think very difficultly. Think very hard. And you go to YouTube, you look at all of this stuff. Just type in cymatics, go to YouTube and watch the videos. Watch the shapes. Every geometrical shape that you see by what you can't hear. Where do you think the cross comes from, brother? What do you think the six-pointed star comes from, the five-pointed star? What do you think the pentagram, the hexagram, the hexagon, the hexachord, the hexagram, what every symbol, every Egyptian hieroglyphics, every symbol, every cuneiform text is held together by sound, by lame, goo, age. Everything is held together by sound. But there is something that's more powerful than sound. But we never talk about that thing that's more powerful than sound. Because what is that thing? Light. So light activates sound. Now, light activates the pineal gland. Back in the old and the ancient days, they had things that they did because they knew that the pineal gland was activated by light, not sound. Light, not sound. Sun exposure kickstarts the pineal gland. It stimulates the mind. Now, brothers, sisters, let me say that again. So you may be having problems, maybe you're a little depressed. Maybe a little, this, that, or the other. You're having difficulties walking in the spirit. Because the fundamental activation of balancing the 10 systems inside of the Helios, Biblios. Now, that was a city called Heliotropos. It's where we got the word Helios, Biblios from. Way before the Egyptians, they had this thing called cranial work, where they worked on your cranium, a.k.a. your brain, through light activation. Now, I can't let, I can't give you the milk for free, because then there's no reason to buy the cow. You know what I'm saying? But what I can tell you is this. that 10 dimensions inside of your temple, 10, skeletal, nervous, circulatory, lymphatic, reproduction, endocrine, urinary, respiratory, digestive, muscular systems inside of your body, the temple. And you must engineer all 10 in order for you to get out of your flesh and walk in the spirit. And it all starts with activating the endocrine system, which includes all of the glands, primarily the pineal gland, primarily the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, the thyroid, the parathyroid, the adrenal glands, the pancreas, your ovaries, your testicles. All of these glands produces the chemicals that control your body. So if I can control those glands, which are not glands, they're organs, because somebody lied to you. And they said that your endocrine system is made up of glands. Therefore, the medical community treats them like glands. And so if you want to walk in the spirit, my brother, you have to be able to understand how to engineer your flesh. Because remember, walking in the spirit is reverse engineering the flesh. So your flesh right now is controlling everything instead of you controlling the flesh. So we have to reverse engineer your flesh. So your flesh right now is controlled by sound. But we got to control your flesh by light. But we got to control your flesh with the light of the world, not the light, not this artificial light, not the electromagnetic spectrum. So by the way, you lost me, dog. Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says it this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, see, there is no short to learning how to walk in the spirit. Walking in the spirit, my brothers and sisters, is described as one of the foundational pillars in the Bible. Walking in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But nobody tells you how, because it revolves around the functioning of the spiritual organs inside of particularly the hypothalamus, because the hypothalamus communicates with the anterior lobe of the pituitary gland via all of the blood vessels in the body, and then it connects directly to the posterior lobe, pituitary gland, and this is called the master gland, but it really is the master organ because it controls the entire endocrine system. So your hypothalamus, because you got your thymus, and you got your hypo or your hypothalamus. That is, again, it controls the information that is released throughout the rest of your entire body. This one little organ, whatever I tell you, it's a gland, it secretes something called a neurohormone that releases or it inhibits. Now, they have a medication that they give, and I know this because I did read it in the book, and it is a inhibitor. Now, you might want to pimp the game. What are inhibitors? Now, inhibitors signal, and they inhibit, they prohibit certain things from happening inside of the body. Now, one of the things that these hormones do inside of these hypothalamus and the pituitary gland, it produces seven key secretions or seven key secrets. These keys or secrets are related to a lot of the production of things that goes on inside of your body that control what happens in your hands and in your head. So your body is controlled by these chemicals or these secretions or these hormones or these secrets. There's seven of them. Now, I break all of this down inside of the series in more detail when we're going to be talking about the temple, how to build the temple of God. The pineal gland is the key to opening what we call in the occult community or in the New Age community, the third eye. And melatonin is known as one of the spirit molecules. But the biggest spirit molecule is DMT. Now, when I lived in Mexico, I had the opportunity to, you know, talk with one of the gentlemen that was Mr. Strawson, that worked at the University of New Mexico, that wrote the book on DMT and was given his government grant to basically give people DMT to see how it affected the body. DMT is produced by the pineal gland during deep sleep. DMT links the body and the spirit. DMT, now again, all this is inside of Dr. Straussman's, his name is Rick Straussman, spelled Straussman, Straussman. He did all of these studies at the University of New Mexico. He wrote a book called DMT, The Spirit Molecule. Inside of this book, he explains what the Egyptians and all the Zoroastrian people knew, and they understand how to control perception, mood, consciousness, cognition, and behavior. They knew how to access the higher consciousness through the secret of the secretions and by activating the pineal gland by something as simple as your diet and sun. Now, I don't know about you, but when the weather's bad, I'm more depressed. That is why September, November, and December are usually bad months for me because the sun is not out. Now, I don't know about you. I take my shoes off. I go in my backyard, and sometimes I will just stand in the sun, and my whole mood changes. Now, I'm not saying that's going to work for you. I'm just saying how I spiritually engineer my life based upon over and understanding my temple. So let's start. There are some biological things that you must do that I'm going to be discussing in vivid detail in the next series because you have to understand how to vibrate on a cellular level. You have to understand how to eat minerals and enzymes and not food because you're eating for your taste buds instead of eating for your magnetic fields and your pineal gland. So your pineal gland is very sensitive to light. So this is how you activate the crystal light matrix, not sound. Everything everybody talks about is light. I'm sorry, sound. Because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. But Yahushua makes seven I am statements. And one of those I am statements that he makes is that I am the light of the world. So if light controls sound, maybe we should be talking about light. So how does light manipulate sound? And what is a light? What is light? So light is a phos, like it says in the Greek, the English word photon, which is, again, it's a package. It's a small molecule of light. And so we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, when we're talking about these things without getting so deep that we lose everybody, we know what light is, but we really don't know what the energy of light is. We know what light does, but we don't know what light is. See, light is an electromagnetic radiation. It's what we call visible light, which is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So light is a part of what we call luminescence. So the light that comes from the sun does something because it is light-toned. So when we talk about what is light, well, we know that light is a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And there are different types of light, seven of them, from radio waves all up to gamma rays. But the electromagnetic waves fluctuates or functions as electricity and magnetism. But that still doesn't tell me what light is. That just tells me what light does. All heard that light is an electromagnetic wave, or that it's made up of photons. But what does all this mean? when we say what light is. What is the basic physics or the basic optics of light? Because when we really, really look at it, brothers and sisters, we have to, light is just like sound. But what light controls sound? This is what people like Isaac Newton wrestled with when they tried to find out what is thought, what is light, and what is words. They're all made up of really, really tiny particles and subparticles. And these particles, they emit something. That's why kind of a wave. But light also has a particle. And so Newton had this idea that he called a corpus, kind of like our blood vessels. And so his idea was that this photon is a particle and a wave, but it was never like seen. It was just an idea. And so then Karl Marx comes along and all of these other great scientists comes along and they come up with these ideals of what light is. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that nobody knows what light is. All they know is what light does. And they know that light does something to sound that sound cannot do to light. So light is more powerful than sound. But everybody talks about sound because sound creates the shapes, but light illuminates. Light is electromagnetic radiation. Light is what they call lumination. Light is what they call luminescence. So it is the emission of light by a substance that has not been heated. It's like fluorescence. So luminescence is the process that does not involve heat, but yet it creates a glow. Now, we could get more into the science of this, but what I really want to do was get you to see how tough it is to define God. All we know is how it is exhibited. So Yahushua said, I am the light of the world. And when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have light and we have sound that control this universe, that we attain to God. So we got to engineer light and sound in order for us to walk in spirit. Let me say that again. You have to understand light and sound. That is why they use light and sound to program you. A TV is nothing but flickering lights, and it makes sound. But what it does is it boxes your spirit. So if you turn off the light, if you turn off the sound, you release your spirit. I'm going to just have to tell you what I do. I don't know what anybody else do. I don't know. People pray. They tell me they got all of this stuff. They hold their breath. They turn on their head. They listen. You know what I do? I turn off everything. No sound. I turn off all the lights. The only time I turn the lights on is when I'm ready to write something. And I sit in darkness and in silence. Now, I don't know why that works, but it works. I reverse engineered my flesh. So when I'm having a bad day, when I want to go maul something, when I'm ready to curse somebody out, when I'm driving my car, I turn off the radio. When I'm having a really, really rough time, I close my eyes. I disconnect the light. Because engineering, sound and light is what engineers the body. The more sound and the more light, the wrong sound and the wrong light, you get the wrong engineers. You get the wrong result. So let me give you some keys to the kingdom. Let me give you 7 things that's going to help you today to walk in the spirit so that way you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this is what I do. I don't know. It may work for you. It may not. But all I'm saying is, hey, it won't hurt you to try it. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. Romans 8:3 says, For what law for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the flesh. Let me say that again. So you got laws, right? We got all these laws. We got statutes. We got ordinance. We got federal law. We got state law. We got laws of the yin yang. What does it say? The law was powerless to do. You can make all the laws you want. Laws don't have no power. You can make a law, but who's going to enforce it? Who's going to make me do the law? So if you ain't got nobody to enforce the law, the speed limit is 55. But if there ain't no cop around, I'm driving 65. And everybody else is too. And the only time we're going to slow down is when we see somebody to enforce the law. So laws don't mean nothing. And people tell me, well, brother, you know, it's against the law to do this. It's only against the law to get caught. Now, that's the real world. I know that's, you know, I'm wired a little different. But in the real world, this is how you spiritually engineer your life. Romans 8:3 says, for the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the flesh. So my flesh is more powerful than your laws. That's what it's saying, which is true. Because my flesh tells me, don't drive the speed limit. My eyeballs look around and says, there I don't see no cop. So I drive whatever, F the law, dude. I don't care about the law. I'm going to drive. My flesh overrides the law. The law is weakened by the flesh. Romans 8:3. So the first thing, number one, you have to realize that the law, commandments, what the Reverend Doctor says, you go to church and they tell you, you listen to the message, you've been listening to the message for 30 years, right? Going to church, how that working out for you? Are you still a sinner? Yeah, that's what I thought. You can tell me the law all day, it don't mean shiznit. In fact, the more you tell me, the worse off I am. It's called rebellion. So number one, this is how you want to be a spiritual engineer, you want to change your behavior, you want to change your life. Number one, stop listening to laws. They don't mean shiznit. The law is powerless. In other words, letters. The Bible says the letter kills. They don't have no power. But they give you a form of godliness. People who are experts in the law think they got power until they come up against somebody like me. Because they go up against people who, you know, like you can have a title, but your title, like I used to tell people all the time, hey, dude, your badge don't stop punches. Now, I'm a law-abiding citizen, but if you got a badge and a gun and you disrespect me, you better be able to pull that trigger before I get to you. Because your badge on your gun doesn't stop punches. So laws don't mean nothing to the lawless. I worked in a supermax prison. You think they gave a rip about laws? The fools tried to bury me every day. Every day it was a chess match, my life or theirs. So I was going home. So I made up in my mind before I walked through that prison system that I was going home. Because I know them inmates didn't respect law. Because Romans 8 told me that they didn't. Romans 8:3 says that the flesh does not respect law. So get that out of your head. There is no law that's going to help you. You got to help yourself. So you can read and you can memorize scriptures all you want. It ain't going to do nothing. Nothing. God did this. God did something to help you. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. He thus condemned sin in the flesh. So God says people need help to be spiritual engineers because I gave them laws, but their flesh is too powerful for my law, at least just the letters of it. Hearing the law does nothing on the chemicals inside the body. So I got to give them something else. So I'm going to send my own son in the likeness of a sinful man. So he said, I'm going to put something inside of this law that's going to help him out. Verse 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. So that the righteous standard of the law might be fulfilled in us who live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So God is saying, okay, I'm going to put something inside of you that if you can focus on this instead of that. What did he do? He says that the righteous standard. Now, I did a whole series about the standard. And in that series of the standard, I try to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify for you so that way you can understand the importance of the standard. Now, the standard is your moral code. Your standard is your vocare. It is yours. Now, you get it from somebody, but you must maintain it. The standard. What does that mean? The standard is that means that there is something that you adhere to. Everybody has a different standard. Now, you may think that you don't have one, but you do because that's your moral code. That's your compass. That is the thing, if you will, that you abide by. Now, the standard, according to, like, when I wrote my book, The Standard, it is Gagut, A-G-U-T. Now, this is a theorem. It's not a theory. We said that there is one faith, there is one God, there's one standard, there's one note, there's one vibration, there's one element, there's one power, there's one presence, there's one love, there's one system, there's one mystery, and there's one theorem. Now, I did the entire series, 10 hours, in a 400-page book. There's no way I can break it down in the last 5 minutes of this show. All I'm saying is, once you have experienced love for someone, or once you have experienced love from someone, that is the evidence of the one supreme universal standard. It is the God's, it's the God's grand operating system of unified theorem or unified theory, but it's a theorem, meaning that's a complete circle. What does that mean? That simply means that this universal thing that we call love is the standard that governs everything. There is nothing that you have to do. You just have to be it or believe it. Now, what does that mean? That simply means this, brothers and sisters, that love is universal. It crosses all languages. I don't care if men, you can't speak the language. If you are hungry and I came over there and I put food in my hand and I extend it to you and I have a smile on my face and I have a vibration in my heart that says, I want to help you, we're communicating. That love is the standard. Now, you can call it all kind of other metaphysical stuff, but at the end of the day, there is a standard. And Isaiah 59:19 says this, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and to the east, from his glory and from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And this standard, my brothers and sisters, is love. This sounds simple because it is. Everybody is looking for this major, major, difficult psychological, system to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you cannot and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's what we're doing. So number one, you cannot live the law. You have to be the law. You have to be the standard. Number one, laws doesn't work. Number two, be the standard. The way there is a righteous standard that is inside of the law that must be fulfilled in us. And the way that you fulfill the standard is stop listening to your flesh. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. The pineal gland is in your mind. You set your mind. Your mind doesn't set you. You don't set your mind because your mind cannot be set because your mind is on flesh. How do I know? Look at your actions. So let me make sure you understand what I just said. You cannot walk in the Spirit unless you are in a spirit of love. Now, I meet good people every day, all day. I talk to great people on the phone. I do one-on-ones. I do counseling sessions. I do Dear Kinney Report. And I talk to these great people who post great stuff on Facebook. We have great dialogue. They great people. On the outside, they look like water walkers. But on the inside, they ravenous wolves, because I used to be one. It's either the fool people. See, you can't, an alcoholic cannot fool another alcoholic, fool another drug addict. Because they know just because you've been sober for a day, 2 days, and a week, they know you're still fighting. Because, again, sobriety is a lifetime event. So I'm suffering from and have the residue of a lifetime of the psychological effects of slavery and poverty and abuse. And so for the rest of my life, I'm going to be battling this feeling of being unworthy. So every morning I wake up, I'm arrogant. I'm cocky. I have that I wish a Negro would mentality. I walk around and hope somebody look at me wrong. I want somebody to give me an excuse to love them because I used to hate them. So now I don't mind getting my buttons pushed because I reverse engineered my flesh. I used to walk around with a chip on my shoulder. I still walk around with a chip. It's just a different chip. So all I did, brothers, now this will help you if you understand, all I did is I didn't change me. I changed my vibe, my tone, my frequency. Where hate used to be, love is. Because, see, I tried to change me because everybody told me, dude, you need to change your behavior. I couldn't. I couldn't change my behavior. So now I still do the exact same stuff that I did. The only difference is I'm doing it with love instead of with hate. I reverse engineered my flesh. So I'm still the same dude. I still do all the same stuff that I did in the world. But now instead of going looking for a fight, now I go looking for love. I go looking for somebody to help. I do the same thing. Because you can't change your biology. You can't change the way that you wire. But you can change the gift. You can change your message. You can change your purpose. You can set your mind. So the question is, how does one overcome the pull of the flesh? How can you extract, how can you replace again, take out the stony heart and put in the heart of flesh? How can you do that? How can you override it? Galatians 5:22. See, your entire mindset, my brothers and sisters, is up to you. How you react is totally up to you. Now, you're going to react. See, you've been trying not to react. Don't do that, brother. Don't be trying not to be. Don't try not to feel. Don't try not to see. Don't try not to do this. No. Now, I used to get up and I used to stay up all night and watch porn. Now, I get up and I stay all night. I do the same thing. I just change what I watch. Now, I go to YouTube. And I watch esoteric stuff. I research. Last night I was reading about the Cathars. And I was going through world history. And I was reading about how the whole dragon bloodline was changed. And I discovered the Holy Grail. And I did all of this stuff. When it used to be, I would be up, you know, doing something bad. Now I'm up doing something good. So don't change, brother. Don't change, sister. Keep being who God has designed and gifted you to be. But don't try to be something that you're not. Keep doing what you are doing. You just change the product. Put purpose in your product. That's Romans 8:5. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And what's going to happen when you do that? Romans 8:13. You're going to put to death the deeds of the body. See, when you set your mind, and so you letting your mind set you. See, right now, you're just a reactor. So when that feeling, now this is where the rubber meets the road. Like, you say, okay, brother, well, that sounds good, but you don't understand, dude. I have a feeling of rage, or I have this, that, and the other. Now, this is how I got rid of mine. Now, I know deep down in my heart that I am very blessed. I know. But my brain tells me that I'm not. My brain tells me that I'm a poor creature. Tells me that I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. So what I do is I constantly hang around people that are in worse situations than me. Constantly. Now, I watched this thing on 60 Minutes by that basketball player that accidentally killed that guy in his house. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was on 60 Minutes Sports. This is way back in the day. He was a center for Chicago Bulls. Was it Bulls, I think? What was his name? Jameson? What was his name? I can't remember his name. But anyway, it was on 60 Minutes Sports. And this is what this guy said. Now, this guy was 6'10". Oh, man. First contract was like $6 million. He drunk it up. He was partying at his house. He took out his shotgun, shot it off to his friend, and shot one of his friends and killed him. Prison did his time, got back out. Now he's an older guy, and it was him and Charles Oakley, and they paid him. So at the same time, this dude was crying like a baby because he's struggling with sobriety. Now, he lost everything because of alcohol. But what he said that keeps him sober, this is what he does for a living. He goes, now 6'9", multimillionaire. He can do anything he wants with his time. You know what he does? You know what he does? He volunteers, and every day he go pick up people at the airport and bring them to the house to start their sobriety every day. And then he volunteers as a counselor in this alcoholic shelter that this other alcoholic dude paid to die. Right? Obviously, you don't need the money. Notice how he overrides his flesh. He reverse engineered it. He did the same thing he used to do. He's still doing basically the same thing. So he replaced alcohol with something else. But the thing that keeps him sober is the constant reminder by hanging out with the people that are not. So what am I saying? Why do I do so many shows? Why do I write so many books? Why do I counsel so many people? Everybody I talk to is me. And all I know is everybody I talk to, every day, every time I do a one-on-one, I'm saying to myself, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I, every day. The thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow, if there's any such thing as straight and narrow, is hanging out with people that are not on the straight and narrow. The thing that keeps him sober is hanging out and counseling people that are not sober. Because he knows that if he go drink, somebody's going to be counseling him. And he was the kind of guy that would drink that, you know, he was like this guy that, hey, I want to hurt somebody, I'm going to kill myself. So he would do, like, crazy stuff. He's one of those guys that, you know, alcohol affects everybody differently from what I'm told. I know the drug, so I don't know. But all I know is what I've done. And that is my behavior was not conducive to the life that I want to live. Now, I'm saying I want to be wealthy. I'm saying I want to be healthy. I'm saying I want to be wise, and I'm saying I want to be in a good relationship. But my behavior was not taking me in the direction of being wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a relationship. So either I need to stop saying I want to be in a relationship and I want to be healthy, wealthy, wise, or I need to start doing the things that match up with what I'm saying. That's how you become a spiritual engineer. To become a spiritual engineer, by person, you got to take stuff. You got to take steps. You keep saying all the right stuff while doing all the wrong things. That lets me know that you're lying to yourself, and your mind and your heart are not on the same page. Because those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So you have to set your mind. Now, there's a biological way of doing it, which we're going to talk about in the next series, but there's a spiritual way. Now, the spiritual way is in what we just read, Romans 8:14. It says that the Holy Spirit leads us always. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 tells us as well that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all things. So instead of trying to rush and get through this today, I'm going to go through these 7 steps. Tomorrow we'll stretch it out a little bit. We'll do one more show. To go through the spiritual aspects, because we're going to be dealing in some vivid, vivid detail with the biological aspects. So it takes both for you to become a spiritual engineer. So becoming a spiritual engineer simply means that the presence of the Spirit within you, and this presence causes you to feel. Now, this particular feeling is a kind of suffering. It is a longing. It is a wanting. It is a desire. And this longing, this wanting, this desire is for the presence of the Ruach and for the Pneuma to manifest in our lives. So we actually want, and you actually want, because you know that this fallen world, this fallen state, all of this sin, all of this stuff that you do, when you do it, you feel something afterwards and probably doing it. That is the restraining mechanism That is the biblical concept of the English word hope. Because the word hope means eager expectation or anticipation. So we hope and we want to do. And so the Bible talks about that the Spirit groans inwardly and it eagerly awaits the adoption and the redemption of our body. And so our spirit is eagerly awaiting. As we talked about it, we're going to break this down tomorrow in Romans 8:22. And so your mind must join your spirit. So you have a conscience. If you didn't, you wouldn't be listening to today's show. And this conscience is telling you there's a better way. But your body is not allowing you to operate in that better way. So you have to take the blueprint and you got to build a mindset that programs process just like building a house is. And once you understand this step-by-step process, now we'll go through the biological steps, but the spiritual steps are simply taking and understanding that, hey, number one, I'm a walk in the spirit. Number two, I'm going to set my minds on the things of God. Number three, I'm going to put to death the body, and I'm going to bring alive the spirit. Number four, then I'm going to do this by being led by the spirit instead of being pushed by the flesh. Anytime I feel pushed, like I got to say something to this dude pissed me off, I'm going to go over to say something. Hey, yo, man, no, I'm not going to be pushed. I'm going to be led. I'm going to resist being pushed, and I'm going to yield to being led. Number five, I am the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to know my role. I know my role. In other words, I am going to be the director and the star of my own movie. Number five, I am the father. I am the director, myself and I. I'm in control of all three of us. You got to be the director, brother, and instead of allowing somebody else to direct you. Number six, you got to put all your hope. Hope, now remember, is expectation. You get exactly what you expect. Focus on the, I expect good things to happen to me. I expect to be wealthy. I expect to be healthy. I expect to be wise. I expect to have a great relationship. I'm expecting it. I have a expectation. So I'm going to act as if. Number six, that is act as if. And finally, number seven, praying in your head and in your heart. Instead, pray in your spirit. Pray in the spirit. Now, I got to break that down because you can pray in tongues, that's great, it's another, but pray in the spirit. See, when you learn how to pray in the spirit, you join with all of the members of the Federation, what I call the Federation of Light. Now, this New Age stuff, they got all of this, you know, Federation of Light beings. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Federation of Light. When you join this organization, my brother, become a member of the Federation of Light. And this, my brothers and sisters, is very, very powerful. Tomorrow we're going to break down these seven steps in a little bit more detail as we talk about how to socially engineer your spirit so that you become a spiritual engineer instead of socially engineering your flesh. So we're going to teach you how to override your flesh with your spirit. Because when you learn and join with your spirit, so that way it helps you to override the struggles because now you have something that sets you apart. This is a wordless endeavor. We'll break it down further tomorrow. My brothers and my sisters, thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.